Ready, Kramer?
Ready.
You got it? Okay, I'd like to call to order the Coopville Town Council meeting of January 23rd, 2018. And ask you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I have no changes or additions to the agenda this evening. Does any of the council members? Okay. Motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
A second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda for the January 23rd council meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Have you all had a chance to read the minutes of the January 9th meeting?
Yes.
Any changes or corrections you would propose?
No.
Excellent. Minutes will stand approved as submitted. Thank you, Kelly. Mayor's report. I'm going to start with the big exciting news that you all probably are aware of. We went public last week with the Navy's decision to treat the town of Coopville's drinking water and to also hook up the 8 private wells that are outside of the town limits yet in our water service area. The 8 wells that are above the advisory level. So everybody is very pleased. Say I'm very pleased is an understatement. We worked on that for months and months and months, and I just really believe that the way they agreed to mitigate the situation is the best possible outcome we could have hoped for. It will just take care of our wells forever. And actually, I think Coopville's going to end up with the highest quality drinking water on the island, and the Navy is going to pay for all of it.
And Molly, I really want to give you kudos because you were the one that brought that forward as the solution to the Navy.
Thank you.
I agree.
Well, thank you very much. I had a lot of help to do that with. Joe Grogan has been a huge, huge help in this process to get where we're at today. And what I said in the paper is not just playing nice with the Navy. We did work really, really hard on it for months. However, without the particular captain we have at this base right now at this time, I think we could have worked till we were blue in the face, but we might not have come out with this particular income that we came out with. He was very committed to doing the right thing and especially committed to taking care of those 8 private well owners. He really wants to get them off bottled water. He would have liked that to have already happened, but this is a big project. So a meeting that we had last week, Joe, Kelly Rietma, Kim, and I met with the Navy project engineers. We meet with them all the time. But this particular meeting, I brought in Kim, our town engineer, and Kelly Rietma, because so far I've been working with Joe because he treats the water. Now we're going to get into adding additional service lines. That's Kelly's. Kelly distributes the water. So we're bringing her into the process now at this point when we start talking about those kind of details. And, you know, we've all been making lists of everything that needs to be done. It is a huge, crazy amount of things that need to be done. State right-of-way permits, county right-of-way permits, private easements the Navy will have to obtain, Department of Health approval, then we'll have to do a pilot study, approval on the pilot study. When you're talking about a public water system, there are a lot of hoops to jump through, as you would probably hope that there would be. Drinking water is very important. So they are moving fast and furious. And to let the council know, I have been talking to our town attorney about this as we've gone along, just as I've been giving you guys reports. But I will be coming back to you soon on taking more formal action to accept this project, a little bit more detail on what the project is going to be, And then we'll have later in the process, we'll have a separate agreement for the ongoing operation and maintenance of the program. So we will be officially taking action on it soon. So I've been talking to Grant about that quite a bit. Okay. Any questions on that, on the water?
No,
that great news?
Way to go, it's wonderful news.
It is. I was dancing when I saw it.
Yes. It is very wonderful. We're very excited. Okay, I attended the Allen County Public Health rollout of their finished product last week to their Coopville Community Survey. Catherine has been...
It was a county survey.
Oh, did I say Coopville? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. Allen County Community Health project. Catherine might talk more about that in her report. I'm not sure. I included in your packets the big nice brochure that they produced as a result of the four areas that the community determined needed to be high priority. Let's see if I can remember them, Catherine. Housing, access to care, personal abuse, and suicide and depression. Okay, so out of, you know, starting that, it's been a long process. It's been a two-year process that's been very heavy on community. Well, it's been guided and fleshed out with community members. But I want to thank the CHIP group, which is a volunteer group that works with Island County Public Health on a year-round basis, and also Jackie's staff was very involved in the different areas of what the community determined were priorities. So I really hope and I really do believe that this won't just be 2 years worth of meetings so we can check off a state requirement on a box. I really hope that there was some really concrete goals and solutions and identified even stakeholders that could help make those solutions happen. So I really think that there will be some end results to all that work. Okay? I attended last week the premiere of the movie Plain Truths, P-L-A-N-E, Plain Truths. Do you guys know about that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a half an hour documentary that was done by a couple on the south end of the island, and they do documentaries. It's only a half an hour, and I thought it was just going to be about jets and the jet noise and the EIS process, but they threw in the water situation, the sonar training on the Olympic Peninsula, the testing that's going on out in the Puget Sound that affects the orcas and the salmon and the wildlife. They had special ops training in state parks. They just had all kinds of everything military thrown into this movie. I will say that I think it was pretty well balanced and pretty objective. It was very professionally done. There was like 130 people in the Nordic Hall. The Nordic Hall was packed to see this movie for the first time. I have a link to it. If you're interested, I can send it to you. I can send you the link for the movie. The purpose...
Can you put it on the website?
I don't know. I'll have to ask the owners, the documentary owners. I'm not sure. They interviewed me for it. Captain Moore was in the movie, Ken Picard, Marion Atwood, and then several people from, not necessarily from Coopville, from other areas, in a guy from the San Juans, a woman from the Olympic Peninsula. And then the second purpose of the meeting that night, other than to watch the movie, was also to educate and inform. The evening was kind of sponsored by Coopville Community Allies, and there was a lot of would-be waterkeepers there and several core members there. But they also were passing out information about all of our state and federal elected representatives that could possibly have influence when the final EIS comes out, which is still planned for August or September. And so they were giving talking points and contact information for those representatives. Okay, I attended the League of Women Voters legislative brunch on Saturday. Senator Barbara Bailey was there, and Representative Norma Smith and Representative Dave Hayes sent an aide. And this is an annual event that the League does. And of course, it's during session, so it's, they're very, very busy. I'm not sure why they choose to do it during session, but they seem to. The big news of the day, obviously, was that the state has finally passed the capital budget, which was put on hold last year, so all projects that were approved have not had funding for a year. That doesn't really affect the town in any way, but I know it affects several really important projects with the county, so you must be thrilled with that. So people can start moving on some very important projects in the county. So that was the big news there. Our community survey will be going out in the utility bills next week. It's ready to go. And then my last thing is just before we meet again, the Coopville Chamber will be having a chocolate walk on Saturday, February 10th. This is kind of a shop local and fun social event. You buy a ticket for it, and you go to the various shops in town, and you eat chocolate while you're shopping. It is a very well-attended event. So just wanted to remind you about that. That is the end of my mayor's report. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Okay, this is our first opportunity for audience input. Does anybody that is not scheduled to speak already have any input for the council? The opportunity to do it. Nope? Okay. Okay, so our presentation this evening will be fun. We are very lucky to have had three different residents apply for the town council position. They are all with us this evening. I think what I'm going to do is just copy the format that the League of Women Voters does on candidates nights, and so to keep everything fair. So I think we're going to give all three of you like 5 minutes to make a statement to the council about why you would like the opportunity to serve on the council and maybe a little bit about yourself. And then the council will have an opportunity to ask any questions. And I think what we'll do is if you have a question, we'll make sure that all three of the candidates have an equal chance to answer those questions. And then what we're going to do, and I've told the candidates this by email, but I'll just let the rest of the crowd know this. We will go at the end of the meeting tonight, and we have a lot of business tonight. We will go into executive session to discuss the candidates' qualifications and for the council to have discussions between themselves. We will come out of executive session. They will take action to appoint one of you. And then at our first meeting in February, that person will be sworn in and then just come right up here and sit down and start to work. So you are during executive, and the reason I'm doing that is because this could be, you know, a 20-30 minute executive session. And when we have executive session, we have to clear the room. And quite frankly, my staff has been working all day long. I didn't want to have them sitting out in the hall waiting for us to get done with this portion of the meeting. So we're going to do it at the end. And the three of you are welcome to stay and wait and hear what the result is, or I can contact you first thing in the morning. It's up to you. Okay? So with that, let's start with our presentations. Why don't you come over to the microphone? We will start with the order in how you applied. So we're going to start with Rick, or any better way to pick an order. This is Rick Walty.
Before I start, I wanted to give each one of you a copy of my presentation for your reference.
Okay. Thank you. For the rest of the audience's knowledge, all three of the candidates' resumes and letters of interest were included in the council's packets, so they already have all of that background information about you. So probably don't need to take any of your time to talk about that. They've all had several days to look over your the information you turned in.
Good evening, Mayor Hughes, Council, and staff. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce myself to you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Rick Walty. I have submitted my letter of interest to fill out the remaining term of council position number 2, and I'm a registered voter in town. My wife and I have lived on the island since our retirement in 2002, and we built our new home in town in Coopville, and we've been here for now a little over 3.5 years. Briefly, my education consists of a Master of Science degree in Criminal Justice and a degree of Master of Public Administration, both from California State University, Long Beach. I have been involved in various aspects of community service while living here on the island. In the past, I have served as the president of the Board of Trustees of the Island County Historical Society and Museum, and as a member and president of the Whidbey Golf and Country Club. Currently, I am a member of the Coopville Lions Club and serve on the board as vice president. The Lions Club has allowed me to be actively involved in a wide variety of projects. Also, I'm a member of Coopville's Neighborhood Watch, NET, and serve as a safety officer on the control team while maintaining my role as captain of Old Town South. In addition, I have volunteered for the Penn Cove on my own, volunteered for the Penn Cove Water Festival, the Muscle Festival, the Arts and Craft Festival, the Cider Festival, and I don't see like any other festival in town that the town's had. While living in Long Beach, my community service activities were vice chair of the Solid Waste and Recycling Advisory Committee, a 21-member committee appointed by the mayor. I was also treasurer of an organization called Partners of the Park in Long Beach, which was the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Marine for the city of Long Beach. It was a nonprofit organization who was responsible for the city's programs with a budget of over $100,000. Basically, that was the money that the golf courses, when they had tournaments and stuff like that, it didn't go to the city, it had to be a nonprofit. So we would get it and then we would give it to the other organization. I was also president of Upper Little Bear Mountain Homeowners Association in Lake Arrowhead, California, where we had 36 homeowners and 50 acres. That's when I was in California. My experience consists of, but not limited to, management, budgeting and finance, personnel, strategic planning, and a variety of different kind of committees. I have almost always been in a position to interact with the public, staff, and administration. There were times that I was required to work with organizations to establish mutual goals that were other than the ones that we belong to. I strive to maintain a congenial and professional working environment, and I'm still one of the people that has compromise in my vocabulary. We are so fortunate to be in such a beautiful place with Eby's Preserve, Penn Cove, a variety of historic buildings, both private and commercial, and of course our wharf. We also have great schools, a hospital, a library, county seat, and a professional and public safety network. People in Coopville are friendly and willing to assist others and not afraid to enhance our public infrastructure and its services. Should I be appointed to the town council, my main objective would be to remain true to our town's rich history while continuing to move forward in a positive manner. I do not have any preconceived notions, nor do I represent a particular position or group. I plan on bringing to the council my experience, demeanor, and desire to serve while representing the town and its citizens. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Rick. We'll have questions at the end. We'll do questions at the end. Okay, Gary, Gary Faison will be next.
Gary Faison. I've been a Coopville resident with my wife, Diane, who's here today, since 1991. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you this evening about my qualification for town council. Some of you may recall I ran for town council in 2007 and was defeated by the great Bob Clay, also a member of the Lions Club, which I am not, and unfortunately didn't serve me in that process. You have my curriculum vitae. You see that I'm involved in the community. We put down deep roots. We got involved right away with the Washington State Extension Services Waste Wise program. My wife and I are WasteWise Warriors class of 1993. I took on the responsibility of being the race canoe coordinator for the Penn Cove Water Festival just about that time, and I am still the race coordinator for the Penn Cove Water Festival, and happy to be a part of that organization. Some of the qualities I bring are my passions, some would say obsessions at times, but truly I bring problem-solving skills, and where I see challenges, and even sometimes when I don't see challenges and other people invite me or introduce them to me, and I see where I can be helpful, I take advantage of that and I apply myself. And our, as you can see at Whidbey General Hospital, where I practice as a physical therapist, I innovated and developed several programs, including the cardiac rehabilitation program, the fall prevention program, the vestibular rehabilitation program, and I was working on evolving the Parkinson's disease approaches, innovative solutions. I retired in 2014, but prior to that, I have a great interest in wellness, health, and I see how closely it's linked to our environment. And land use is a very important issue for me. And in fact, shortly after arriving here, I read Richard Wright's book, Land Use and Social Change in Island County, and I highly recommend it, to get a feel for where I am at. In around 1999, I joined the Citizens Growth Management Coalition when that the Island County was in the process of developing its 20-year comprehensive plan and required citizen input. And we did some great things. My small component was that I wrote the communications towers ordinance. I have been co-founder of the Sustainable Whidbey Coalition, which some of you recall, worked on sustainable strategies for Island County. The Green Seal campaign was one of ours. The Community Energy Challenge was another one. I've been a board member and president of the Whidbey Environmental Action Network. We do great work I'm very proud of. We get a lot of flack from people who don't appreciate our approach, but so many of the times the law has upheld our position. I quit PT in 2014 because I realized that the number one health care issue facing us is not getting enough attention, and that's our deteriorating environment driven by climate change, or what I call climate ocean species collapse, because that's where we're at now. And in that process, eventually I came around to my position now as the co-facilitator of the Social Environmental Justice Council at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Whidbey Island. And because I realized that the faith-based community was not living up to its responsibility to this moral, ethical Uber issue. And since then, we have done great work in that regard. The Greening Congregations Coalition of Whidbey Island now speaks of about 10 faith-based organizations on the island, participated off-island on regional conferences, helping to organize and both contribute in presentations in those ways. And I think that the reason I'm interested in this position is because we need to be prepared for what's coming. And what's coming isn't going to be very pleasant. We are faced with an existential crisis. And we better be prepared. And I have spent many, many years educating myself in the issues before us and solutions to those issues. Tuesday, last week, I was in Olympia testifying on behalf of the governor's carbon tax to mitigate climate change, for instance. I've been busy with my legislatures. As you know, I write letters to the editor and champion this effort in many ways, demonstrations and educational experiences. And we will, what I see is we need to be prepared for this. We need to, we've been slacking a bit, I must say, and I blame myself because I haven't been here championing these issues, on things like being prepared for the electrification of transportation issues. We need to have battery chargers for electric vehicles installed. We really should be on the forefront of a no idling policy in this town. We need to be aware that carbon dioxide is a toxic chemical and not be so careless with it. We need to be prepared as well for the psychosocial impacts coming. In November, we attended a conference in Portland, my wife and I, on preparing for the psychosocial aspects of this, of our climate change. And those folks, we are going to be a refuge temporarily for climate refugees. And they're already coming here. And many of those have lived through very traumatic experiences and lived through PTSD as a result. And I invite you to look up transformational resilience, how to build resilience in each other and the community to withstand the coming challenges. Because unlike other challenges, these will be unremitting and relentless. And so community resilience is extremely important if we're going to manage this crisis. And I also think...
I also think,
looking at this beautiful council, that it needs an ugly person of a male gender, perhaps, just to balance it out a little bit. Hail the ladies. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, and our third candidate is Sally Garrett.
Hi, I'm Sally Garrett. I'm honored to be in the presence of our other two candidates and all of their accomplishments. I thank you for considering my application for position 2 on the town council. Mayor Hughes has asked us to give us a little bit of background and interest in serving. I'll try to be short and succinct. You have my resume and my letter of interest, so you know all the background stuff. I thought I would talk a little more about my background as an attorney. Don't hold that against me, first of all. I know all of the bad lawyer jokes always go around. And that you probably know that law is very specialized these days. I haven't spent my career writing wills or suing neighbors over barking dogs or, representing multinational corporations. What I've done is help people and individuals and businesses when they were working with government. And I think that is particularly what's going to be helpful for me and you on the town council. All of my, both in when I was working in government and when I was in private practice, my goals were always to resolve issues, to work with government agencies, with their people that work there, their directors, to try to resolve the problems that my clients had, organized with the government to try to resolve the problems that came before me as a government employee. those are the kinds of things that I think will be useful on the town council, is this ability to, first of all, understand how governments work, how people work together with governments to try to resolve issues and resolve problems. And I know that's one of the things that you as council members and mayor do a lot. So I hope that would be useful. Also, my volunteer background, I think, is going to be helpful, too. Even though I was busy for many years as an attorney, I always found time to have volunteer activities. And both while I was working and since I retired completely in 2013. And thank goodness, I love retirement. It gives me a lot more time to do all the things that I really enjoy doing. And most of that is volunteer work. You've seen from my resume that in the last few years I've been working with the Backcountry Horsemen of Island County. I was president for 2 years. I'm now their state director, and I also work on the legislative side. I'm the legislative liaison for the Island County Backcountry Horsemen with the legislature, working on things like the capital budget and other things that affect the grants that we have applied for. Also, I think that through the many years I've been involved in many community meetings, a lot of the times that, especially in Seattle, some of the community meetings can get really very colorful. So it can be a lot of fun and challenging, but I do think that the first time I went to a community meeting in Seattle, I didn't know what to do. I was a little overwhelmed. And I think you learn about these kinds of things as you do them, and you get better at dealing with some of the issues that might come up that might be contentious in a community. And particularly in a smaller community like ours, I think that would be a skill that would be useful. My interest in being on the town council, besides my background and my interest in volunteering, I think I sort of picked out a few things that I'm aware of that you're dealing with. First of all, the establishment of a hearings examiner, I think, is something that is a brilliant idea. I think it's a great idea, and if there's anything that I can do to help move that along, I can help with that. The comprehensive plan for the town, I think, is going to be just really fun and interesting. The combination of open space and density, I think, is an issue that's going to be something that you are going to have to grapple with and deal with. I'd like to be involved with that. Events, of course. Those are the things that you folks have been involved in. I love to get involved in those kinds of activities. But also, I think, in sort of the more mundane thing, the fiscal aspect of running the town is of particular interest to me also. I was a board member of People for Puget Sound. At the time I came on the board, there was a fiscal crisis because the prior executive director had taken out a huge loan to fund the organization and pay everybody's salaries, and it was all come and do. So it was a very difficult time, and what happened was we found a good home for People for Puget Sound with the Washington Environmental Council, merged the two together, and the mission continues, but the program itself is, because of some fiscal mismanagement, ended, which is really sad. So in conclusion, I just would like to say again, I think I'm up against some pretty great candidates, but I have the interest, I have the energy, I have the time, and I would very much like to work with the town council and with the mayor to help our beautiful community and be on the town council. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay, now we will take any questions from the council. If any of you have any questions you'd like to address to the candidates, now would be the time to do that.
Can I start?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have two.
And you've covered both of these things, but I guess I want to drill down just a little bit. So I would like to ask, well, first of all, holy cow, this is going to be a tough decision. I mean, I'm really impressed with all of your credentials and your desire to serve, and so thank you for that. I guess my first question is there one particular area or issue that you would really like to focus on? So of all of the issues you've mentioned, is there one particular issue you would like to focus on? Your highest priority? And we'll just maybe go in the same order. So, Rick?
Well, Rick's going to get the question the first time.
Right? Okay, well, okay, that's okay.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
We'll
switch it up.
Yes,
we'll switch it up for other questions.
Right, right.
Probably.
And let's take about a minute or two to answer the questions, okay?
Okay. Probably my main entrance with interest in town right now would be the infrastructure, just to make sure that we're, because the town's getting more populated as we're moving along, and just to make sure that the water processing plant, the waste plant, the roads, the water drainage system, the streets and all that. So my main concern right now would be, you know, we're just looking at the infrastructure to make sure that we're moving ahead in a positive direction. At the same time, not having to, you know, nail all the residents with real high taxes or something like that so that we can do this. So we just have to work incrementally to move along in this direction. I think that's what the town's doing, from what I can gather and what I can read in the newspaper.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
Gary.
Tied 2012 for the most multi-billion dollar weather-related disasters for all time. And just the three hurricanes contributed over $300 billion to that price tag. 2017 was also the second hottest year on record, all but one of which were this century. Climate change is here and its repercussions are here. Climate disasters in the previous century amounted to 3.5 weather-related disasters that cost over $1 billion per year. This century alone, it's been 10.7 per year on average. There are four numbers: 300, 350, 411, and 490 that we have been distracted from knowing, and they are related to carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. 300. Humans have never experienced living on a planet with CO2 concentrations above it. 350 is the level that climate scientists say we shouldn't exceed if we want a manageable planet. 411 is where we are right now. And 490 is where we are if you add methane as a CO2 equivalent. We need to understand what those mean, and that we need to deal with this in a most aggressive, innovative way, and everybody has to be on board. So that's why I finished my presentation focusing on that issue. Preparing for climate chaos is where we should focus, including sea level rise, storms, water impacts, etc. And Coopville is perfectly positioned. We are a historic, progressive town.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Sally.
As I walk around Coopville every day with my new dog, I see development going on in Coopville, and I see things that are being saved and things that are being changed. And I think that one thing that I would be most interested in working with is that comprehensive plan and working with the development of this town in order to keep it our beautiful, historic, important, and great community that we love working in, living in.
Thank you.
Is my second one now, or do I?
Somebody else has to.
Let someone else have a chance. Chris, do you have any right now?
I do. If you are out in public, and there is an issue that you feel passionately about, and a citizen of Coopville comes up and tells you why that's not an important issue, how do you deal with it, is number one. And the second part of that is, same issue you're passionate about, the majority of citizens do not want to take action on that. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I think we could start with Sally this time.
Yeah, we're going to start the other way around.
All right.
Okay. The first was, if there's somebody that confronts me in town that disagrees with a position that I've taken, is that
that's
that
correct.
Question? Okay. Well, first of all, I think the most important thing to do is listen. Because I'm not always right, I gotta admit it. So it's good to listen, and it's good to listen to other people's opinions and hear them, and not just say, oh yeah, okay, but actually hear what they're saying. And I think that would be one way to have them be heard, and be heard by, if they're addressing me as a council member, which I think that's what you meant. Now, whether I would probably ask them to write down their opinion and submit it to the council and say, I think that other people ought to hear this too, because I think this is something that everyone on the council ought to hear, not just mediated through what I have to say. And now I've said all this, I can't remember the second half.
The second was same position. Mm-hmm. But you find that the majority of citizens in the town do not agree with you. How do you handle that?
Well, we live in a democracy, of course. So I think that, again, I may have an opinion on something that I am, as Rick says, compromise is in my vocabulary, too. So I think that I certainly understand if things are not always going my way. I mean, I have learned through many years, both as a litigator and a lawyer and working with community groups, that everybody doesn't get everything they want all the time. It just doesn't happen. So you do need to work with other opinions and with other people and I would deal with it.
Thanks.
Gary?
Well, I would ditto Sally on most of her comments, active listening, hearing the person's arguments would be essential to that process, showing them their where they can have their voice heard, as she indicated, and also trying to answer their questions any way we could, or direct them to sources that they that we could answer, that their questions could be answered. And if I can't do that on the spot, I'll certainly offer to get back with them on that. With regards to the second question, if you're championing of unpopular issues, you have to listen and make determinations based on the best available information. Usually that's the scientific information. But we can be moved by polls, but I would not be poll directed if the science or the information I have points in the other direction as being best in the long term for the community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well,
Well, first of all, I think it's important to realize that that I'm not representing myself. I'm representing the council. So I think it's very important that you have to listen to people and what they say. And you're always going to have people with different opinions or different pieces of opinion, no matter how much you try to explain to them or how it comes out. And that's just the way it is. When you got three people in a room, you're going to have one with a different opinion than the other two. So I just think that as a council person, you know, you have to look at the council and what you're representing, not yourself in this position. And the second part of it was if it was something that
if you have a position, a strongly or passionate position, and you find the majority of citizens in the town do not agree with you on that position, how do you handle it?
Probably won't get elected the second time. No, I think that that's going to happen a lot of times because there's a lot of information that you get input from people that maybe know more about it than you do, and you're going to get those kind of opinions coming at you, and you don't have an opportunity to know what all the other opinions are or expertise on a subject. So I think that would be a common thing in the reality when you're dealing with contentious issues. Hopefully, you know, you can listen and you can just try to make the best decision possible. That's what your responsibility is, of representing citizens.
Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Kat, do you have a question?
I do. So my question is, do you think there is a lack of affordable housing in the town of Coopville and that it is an issue? And if your answer is no, why not? And if your answer is yes, what do you think are the best solutions?
Okay, let's start with Gary. We're mixing it up.
Well, knowing how housing prices are skyrocketing through the area and the homeless crisis is evolving, I would say probably not enough affordable housing. Although, I can't say that I've made a study of it. However, Diane and I, my wife, will be doing a survey of homeless people in Island County on Thursday. Not strictly related to your, you know, Coopville here, but we'll certainly have a better feel traveling down that path of the question you bring to light here.
So what do you think are the best solutions for lack of affordable housing?
Well, there are several innovative solutions we need to entertain. Desperate people will be led to desperate measures. Having shelter, I think, should be a basic human right. So I don't have specifics with regard to this question, but I have studied a little bit about the homeless issue and why we have homeless problems in this country. And part of that is a values orientation, that we believe that people should work for everything they get. And if they're not working, they shouldn't get it. And we also have this notion that if they are in a bad place, maybe they deserved it.
Thank you.
And I don't believe those two things.
Okay, Rick, why don't you go next?
I find that to be an interesting question, and I find it to be relative to who you are. If you're a doctor or an engineer for Boeing or something, there's probably plenty of affordable housing in Coopville. If you wash dishes down at one of the restaurants or something like that, or you mow lawns, it might be real difficult to live here in Coopville. So it's a small town. I know we have housing for seniors and people that are on fixed income that are older, but I'm not real sure. I don't have the information to know about the younger people that live in the area that work. So it's without all the information, it just seems like a general problem going on in the whole country right now, because there seems to be more people than there are available housing. And then again, some people don't want to own a house. They want to, you know, have a smaller house that they don't have to, you know, be responsible for. So.
Thank you.
Okay,
there is a problem with affordable housing in Island County. I don't know specifically about Coopville, but when I ride my horse occasionally, I will see them camped in the woods. I see them in parking lots for parks, living in the back of their station wagons, in the back of their pickup trucks. So I know that there are people that can't find housing. I don't know what their specific circumstances are, but it's there. It's something that I think we do need to deal with it with. Do I know what the solution is? No, I don't. I unfortunately have not studied as much as I should on this area, but I think that there are a lot of different things that we can do. I mean, you see other communities that are grappling with this issue. Affordable apartments, small homes, shelter even for some people that, you know, the back of their camper van is not going to be enough in some of these cold nights. So I think there are solutions, and if this is something that I'm lucky enough to be on the council, it would be something that I would be most interested in looking into some of those possible solutions. Thank you.
Catherine, do you have any questions?
Well, one of mine was kind of already covered. Can you separate yourself from a council member and a member of the community? As was alluded to, you're speaking when you're out in public and people know you're a council member. You might say things that might indicate the council thinks a certain way or would do something. You know, it's a tricky thing, and I just wonder how you see that balance.
Okay, let's go back to Rick.
Well, again, I think that the bottom line is you're representing the council and not yourself. So I'm not sure I quite understand.
Well, for example, when there was a hearing on a house to be built next to my neighbors, and they were very worked up about it, and I'm their friend, but I'm a council member. I can't be voicing my opinion like I would have before. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I guess as a council person, if somebody's expecting you to legally advise them or do what you have to say as a council person, you have to step back from that, because I don't think that's a proper thing to do. You kept yourself in a lot of trouble and other council members, because something like that was controversial, was spread all around in the neighborhood in no time at all, and they'll say, Catherine said this or something. You know? So I think that's something that you have to really kind of be aware of if you're in this kind of position. I mean, you have to be aware of it. You know, you can't kind of.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
Okay. Well, I think you have to make it clear when you're speaking what position you are speaking from. And that's a dilemma there, but I'm sure you made it clear to the woman that you couldn't, or the person, that you couldn't speak as a council person on her behalf, because you represent everyone, and that has to be clear. Language is important, and there are legal guidelines for this that we must be fully aware of and follow them. Hopefully, we won't be too confused.
Thank you. Sally?
We live in a small town. It's a very small town. Everybody knows everybody, and they know who's on the council and who isn't. And I think that as a member of the council, I think I would be very careful in voicing opinions that might be taken as council opinions. I mean, my daughter, who's a very wise lady, said after we moved here, she says, Mom, it's a small town. And I said, yeah, that's true. You do have to be aware of who you're speaking with, where you're speaking, and as a member of the town council, I think you're always speaking in a more public arena than a regular citizen is. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jackie, do you really have another one?
Well, the, Pat took it. I was going to ask about.
You took my first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what she said. She said, that was my question.
We all share. Okay, well, I was going to ask about the affordable.
Do you think we've raked these people over the coals long enough? Does anybody have any other questions?
No, I'm good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for your, for being, like I said before, for being willing to throw your hat in the ring. A lot of people aren't willing to do that.
Right.
It's fun work and important work and interesting work, but not a lot of people look at this job as the way they want to serve the community. So thank you very much for your applications. And I've already explained how we're going to do this for the rest of the evening, so feel free to stay, leave, whatever you want to do.
And I just want to reiterate that it's a tough decision, but I think we have three highly qualified candidates.
Absolutely.
We are in a lucky, we've got a hard decision to make, and that's a good place to be.
Yep. Between the three of you, you must cover every volunteer activity there is. I'm really impressed.
We can't play them all, though, right?
lots of expertise.
Yeah, no.
Okay. The next thing on our agenda is two public hearings. I am going to try my darndest to make Kelly Beach proud and do this correctly. I am going to open the first public meeting.
Public hearing.
Public hearing. Oh, God. I'm going to open the public hearing for Ordinance 741, creating Chapter 2.52 of the Coopville Town Code, establishing a hearing examiner's position and assigning authority for that position. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask any of you if there's any appearance, any possible conflict of interest.
No.
None of you plan to apply for the job as our hearing examiner or anything? Okay. Then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Venison to make his staff report.
Thank you, Mayor Hughes, and good evening. To be very brief, the draft ordinance 741 will amend the town code to add a new chapter that will establish the Office of the Hearing Examiner, again with authority to hold public hearings and decide quasi-judicial land use matters and hear appeals of administrative decisions. The practical effect is to transfer quasi-judicial authority for these matters from the Planning Commission and the Town Council to the new position of Hearing Examiner. This was discussed on January 9th by the Council, and no changes were directed. It's been reviewed as to form by the town attorney, and following public comment at the hearing, the council may adopt the draft ordinance 741 as written or with any revisions you may wish to make. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Wow.
Excellent.
That might be a record for Owen. However, we have talked this issue to death.
I was going to say a few times.
I think this has been an agenda item on workshops and agendas for a long time, and we are very happy to be at this point. So, after that wonderful staff presentation, does the public have any comments to make or questions about this ordinance? Nope. Okay, Owen, are there any comment letters to acknowledge for the record?
We've received no comment letters.
Okay. Okay, so now, does the town council have any questions to ask of our town planner?
No.
Clarifying questions?
Wow, this is awesome. I am now closing the public hearing, Kelly.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Did you want to speak?
I already did that.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Kelly.
I'm cold.
Mm-hmm. I'm opening the next public hearing.
Okay.
To consider ordinance 742, revising chapter 2.28 of the Coopville Town Code, amending the Planning Commission authority. And we'll again ask if there is any possible conflict of interest on the council's part.
Nope.
About this chapter. And again, ask our town planner to make his staff report.
Thank you again, Mayor Hughes. Draft Ordinance 742 is a companion ordinance to Draft Ordinance 741 in that the primary or the most important aspect of it is that it removes the Planning Commission's authority to hear and provide recommendations on preliminary plats, recommendations to the Town Council on preliminary plats. This is explicit in the as one of the among the authority and duties of the Planning Commission in the in existing chapter 2.28. It adds a section for annual selection of officers and makes other minor clarifications. This was also discussed on January 9th, and at that time the Council directed several changes to which are incorporated in the current draft, as discussed in the staff report. The first is that it expands the eligibility for membership in the Planning Commission to non-resident property owners and business operators, in addition to what had been just owners and operators of businesses in the town. The minimum age requirement of 18 currently in the chapter is replaced with a requirement to be a registered voter of Island County. Staff has reviewed chapter 3563 RCW that provides the authority for a planning commission, and found no conflicts with removal of that age requirement. So prior to the meeting this evening, I did place a slightly revised draft ordinance 742 on the dais for each of you. After the agenda packet went to press, we received some minor recommendations from our town attorney, and these are shown as the gray area, and for the audience there are extra copies at the back. The only thing, areas that the town attorney proposed to change are revision in several places from a reference to the Revised Code of Washington, abbreviated as RCW, prior to the chapter. The town attorney's recommendation and preference is to put it after the name of the chapter, and that occurs in the recitals on the first page, on page 2 under subsection 040, and in subsection 010. The other change is very stylistic. Currently in subsection 040, the section refers to chapter 3563 RCW entitled 16 of the Coopville Town Code, where the current language is in the existing code and in the original draft ordinance was as now constituted and as amended in the future. Our town attorney prefers as it now reads or as hereafter amended. Staff has no concerns about either of these changes. Again, they are minor, non-substantive revisions to it. So at your preference, it can be adopted with either set of language. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, Owen. This is the opportunity for the public that if you have any comments on this ordinance. No? Okay, Owen, did we get any letters for the record?
We received no correspondence on this item.
Okay, Council, do you have any questions for Owen? Kelly, I'm closing the public hearing.
Okie doke.
How'd I do?
Awesome. Gold star.
Thank you. That concludes both of our public hearings for the evening. We will go right into our new town business, our new business. And the first item is to approve ordinance 741. And if anyone wants to start us off with a motion, that would be wonderful.
I move that the Town Council adopt Ordinance 741 to create a new office of the Hearing Examiner in Chapter 2.52 of the Coopville Town Code.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve Ordinance 741, creating Chapter 2.52 of the Coopville Town Code, establishing a Hearing Examiner position. Any more discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Second item, approval of ordinance 742.
I move that we approve ordinance 742, revising chapter 2.28 of the Coopville Town Code, amending the planning commission authority.
Second. Did you want, which one did you
which
want?
Version do you want?
She did the one on the agenda.
No, I mean, which version of the ordinance do you want?
The one that was given to us this evening
by Mr. Dennis. As amended by our town attorney. Okay.
Yes.
Did anybody second?
I did.
Jackie seconded. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve ordinance 742, revising chapter 2.28 of the Coopville Town Code, amending the planning commission authority as submitted by the planner this evening, approved by our town attorney. Any more discussion?
I just want to say that I really appreciate all the people in today and in past years that volunteered for the planning commission. It's a very difficult job to do both long-range planning and what I call current planning. And I think this will be a very effective way to go, and will allow the planning commission to spend their energy on what we have before us, which is a rewrite of the comprehensive plan. So I really appreciate this moving forward at this point in time, and appreciate all those people that put in long, hard hours in the past.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. That is all true. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. And as you all just make note that, as you know, we have already had been in consultation with a planning examiner and would plan to get that contract to you real quickly. Okay, the next item is approval of ordinance 743, amending the 2018 budget, revising the duties and salaries of the utility superintendent and the public works superintendent. Again, this is something that we have discussed, but I am bringing it to you for action. And this has to do, as I have talked with you about earlier, it has to do with new requirements about those positions to obtain several certifications on behalf of the town, so that we have a redundancy in our ability to run our water plant, our wastewater plant, our water distribution system, cross-contamination, and we are in very good shape right now. And as I said before, we had talked about this, I planned for it, and I failed to include it in the 2018 budget. So if anybody would like to make a motion.
I move to approve ordinance 743, amending the 2018 budget, revising the duties and salary of the utilities superintendent and the public works superintendent.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve ordinance 743, amending the 2018 budget, revising the duties and salary of the utility superintendent, public works superintendent. Any further discussion? Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
I would just like to say that I really appreciate the spirit of both these people, the way they went ahead and took the courses and the exams without any guarantee they were going to get paid. They really have the best interests of our town at heart, and I really appreciate that.
These exams are hard. They have had to take in some cases, 2 or 3 days of training to study for them, and some of them just require time. That once you've passed one level, you have to work in that job for a certain number of years before you're even eligible to take the next level. So we are in very good shape. Okay, the next item on our agenda, we spoke last time about setting a special workshop date in February because I'm... would you pass something?
The Muscle Fest.
Oh, I went right by the Muscle Fest. Sorry. The next item on our agenda is the approval of our special events permit application for the 2018 annual Muscle Fest. Did I or did you write the staff report, Ms. Kelly?
I did.
Do you want to speak about it, or do you want me to?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So you have received your very complete application for the 2018 Muscle Fest. Again, this is something there is one major change in the application this year, And I discussed that with you earlier to make sure that you were fine with moving the large major beer tent from Alexander and Covland down to Covland and Main Street on the town's Johnson property. We've done all the review with our insurance, and we're all in agreement, and with our police department, and we're good to go on that. So what you have before you is most of the other items on with the festival will remain the same. Heavy activity down in the center of town. The rec hall is like Muscle Fest Central, and the rec hall parking lot, there will be a lot of extra food vendors there and a lot of activity. I believe they have 20 restaurants signed up for the muscle. How many restaurants are signed up for the tickets?
At least 16. Still
16.
Working on 20.
Working on 20. Trying to have five tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Five tickets for all of our many, many visitors that come in from town. Shuttles, SeaTac shuttle is lined up to take people from restaurant to restaurant. Parking all over town has been identified. You guys all know the drill, right?
Yep.
Okay, so really the only big change, and it is a big change, is moving that main beer tent to a different location. But we're all excited to try the new location and see what happens. So, if anybody wants to move,
to approve special events application number 2017-01 for the 2000.
No,
do again. Move to approve special events application.
Oh, there's a typo.
It's a typo.
It's 2018. Sorry, Jackie. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Move to approve special events application number 2018-01 for the 2018 Muscle Fest with conditions listed numbers 1 through 24.
I second. Moved and seconded to approve the special events application for the 2018 Muscle Fest. Are there any more questions or comments from the council?
No, we talked about last time, and it looks very complete. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
I just want to say I'm impressed with the absolute amount of planning and detail that has been taken care of in this.
It's amazing.
Our festival organizations in this town have their act, they have the drill down, they have their act together with all the detail, and they have turned this into a science. And just I want to say that this is a very special festival for the town, since it celebrates our very unique muscles that no one else in the country can celebrate but us.
That's true.
And it's a wonderful shoulder event for the town and brings in a lot of business. Okay, any more questions?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, now we will set the special workshop date. As I told you before, the list, I try to add things on as discussion items to the council meetings to stay on top of things, and the list is just getting away from us. So you indicated that February 22nd would be a good date. I was able to get the Coopville, that great meeting room in our Coopville library, but I couldn't get it till 4:30 instead of 4. And so I have that booked, and if you are so inclined, we can set that workshop date.
Thanks, me.
Motion.
I move that we have a special workshop on February 22nd at 4:30 in the Coopville Library.
Second.
Moved and seconded to set a date for a special workshop on February 22nd, 2018 at 4:30 in the Coopville Library meeting room. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously, and I want to thank you for your willingness to have these special workshops about at least, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year, so we can catch up.
So you're thinking 2, 3 hours? 4 hours?
I'm thinking not more than 3 hours, and I'm hoping maybe even a little bit less than that. Heavy snacks. Okay?
No sugar.
No sugar? Oh. You may just have to show restraint and not eat the sugar. Okay? Last item for action on our agenda tonight is the approval of the January 2018 AP transactions and warrants. Can we start with a motion, please?
I move that we approve the January 2018 AP transactions and warrants number 32970, to 33008 for a total of $153,107.56.
I second. Moved and seconded to approve the 2018 transactions and warrants. Catherine came into town and went over all of the warrants for you, for us, so I don't think she has any questions. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, I do have a question, not about the accuracy, but on page 9. Most of the way down. The St. Mary's Catholic Church has a water easement payment. What is that about?
We have a water line that runs from the main line on Main Street, on North Main Street, through their property back to our town shops. And so we have an ancient easement that we pay them $50 for every year.
Right. We actually don't own the property that comes from the plant to the road. We cross their property.
You know, the property where it used to be fire department and now it's Boys and Girls Club and food bank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just $50 a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Kathleen, you don't have any more? Pat, do you have any?
That was my question.
Okay. Chris, do you have any? Jackie?
No.
Excellent. Moved and seconded to approve the January 2018 AP transactions and warrants number 32970 to 33008 for a total of $153,107.56. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, now this is an opportunity for town council members' reports. If you have anything to share with the rest of the group. Catherine, let's start with you.
Well, I'm on the Law and Justice Council. We haven't met for, I think, since November, and maybe not then. So we're finally having a meeting tomorrow, and so I'll have to wait until next month to tell you what we did. But I'm happy that we're back in motion again.
Okay.
And the focus of the meeting will be on the revised statement of our purpose and what that means for what we're going to do going forward. We've been talking about the fact that, you know, we're an advisory council, and are we doing that, or are there special issues that in the past they have championed that there haven't been any since the jail review, which was big, but since then, where do we go from there? So I am open to anybody's thoughts of things you would like to see the council address, so the Law and Justice Council.
Okay.
And you had mentioned also that I might want to talk about the Community Health Improvement Plan. I've been talking for a long time about how the Board of Health and the Community Health Advisory Board, of which I am a member, did a community health assessment, gathering lots of data, weighing that data, presenting it to community members, stakeholders, and anybody to see where they thought that the emphasis should be on our greatest health challenges that we could do something about, which is another whole thing. And that whole process ended with four groups that Molly mentioned from all kinds of citizens working to say, okay, housing or suicide and depression, those are big topics. What one area should we, do we have the expertise, do we have the will to work on? The one that, and then they all came together into what was presented the other night, and there are booklets available if anyone in town would like to see them. But the committee that I was working on was suicide and depression. And we had a lot of really committed people, but they're very committed and they've got their jobs in high schools or clinics. Nobody arose to be a champion like Kata did for interpersonal abuse. Mm-hmm. And we are looking for an organization or some kind of entity that might be a focal point, not to run everything, because this is totally a community outpouring of how we all want to improve our lives. And combined with various government agencies, not just the Board of Health. So what we came up with for our focus was educating people on the signs of depression or suicidal thoughts and how we could interact with someone that we might think needs help and where the help is that they could get. So anyone who wants to be part of that work, I would be very happy to hear from you.
Okay. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a government agency. It could be a nonprofit group.
Exactly. And okay. My particular corner of it, I have found some people in the faith community who have personal experience with it or professional experience who perhaps might take a little piece of it. Like one of the suggestions for one of the other groups was get training and then go and train others, your peers. And so I think that if people in the faith community would start doing that, other groups could do it too, you know, the Lions or anybody. So that's my little beginning idea.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Well, I have not attended my first meeting of the tourism, but I'm looking forward to that. But in my day job with the Whidbey Communal Land Trust, I am incredibly happy that the capital budget did pass. We had six grants that were held up there, two of them in Eby's Reserve, one to continue our prairie restoration south of Coopville at our Admiralty Inlet Preserve, which is an incredible walk with an old growth forest. And then a big farmland in Eby's Reserve, a real critical piece of farmland. And that particular farm scored number one in the state.
Wow.
We also had three grants that were for Barnum Point, which is over on Camino Island. So being able to finish that $6 million project with a mile of beach access. So
congratulations.
Very happy that finally passed. And also for all of the many other things, affordable housing and things that we're able to move forward.
Excellent news. Okay. Chris, you haven't been assigned any councils yet. Anything you want to report? Okay. Jackie?
Yeah, I have several things. One, I'm on the Island Transit representing the town of Coopville, and as most of you probably read in the paper, we are beginning, like, drum roll please.
Yay!
Saturday service again next weekend.
Yay! That's great.
Very, very, very excited about that.
So, I thought they were driving this past Saturday.
Oh, they might have just been out
running
the routes
touring.
Or training Yeah, so I think everything's going well. We have a meeting this Friday of the board, so I'll find out more then. But yeah, we're very, very excited about that. I wanted to mention, because Gary mentioned about counting the homeless on Thursday, and that is actually our nationally on that one day every year, every county in the nation is required to do what's called a point-in-time count. And it is that day when communities count their homeless. And so my office is actually in charge of that. We have been for about 4 years. We have over 100 volunteers who are going to be going out in a very systematic way to count people and to do assessments, or not really assessments, but questionnaires with people. So that we are lucky that we're small enough that we can do that, like in Seattle or other larger communities, they just simply count. They go to the shelters and they go on the streets and they just simply count. We're able to, because again, we also have so many volunteers, able to do a little, if people are willing, to do a little questionnaire with them. So we can gather a lot of other information about personal health, about their family, about all kinds of things. It's about a two-page questionnaire. We've trained a lot of volunteers that will do that with people. We have a lot of churches where they'll be serving meals, and we'll have volunteers at those churches to do this questionnaire with people. It's not mandatory, so if somebody says, yes, I'm homeless, but I don't want to answer your questions, they don't have to. They'll still be able to be counted. And once we enter all the data, like some people say, well, what if somebody goes to a church for dinner and then they go to the shelter at night and they get counted somehow three times? Well, that once we enter the data in the statewide system, that spits names, they'll only count that person once. So there's really not too much of a chance that people will be double counted. Anyway, yeah, a lot of activities going on. We have great great volunteers. Some will ride the transit and talk to people who look like they might be homeless. We'll have people in the libraries, because during the day, especially in the winter, that's where a lot of people who are homeless stay. All of our law enforcement agencies totally on board. They'll have the questionnaires with them. And in some cases, we'll have people riding along with them to go to some of the places that we feel might be a little more dangerous. So it's pretty exciting. We get pretty accurate counts, we feel. And it's important to get as accurate as possible because it is the basis for a lot of funding that comes to the county, not only around housing but other issues. And it helps us with planning on other things when we get those numbers. So that's, my staff is pretty frazzled right now, and I think they're all taking Friday off, so because they're going to be pretty tired. They also put together what they give the volunteers, especially if they're going out and about. They give them backpacks full of socks, of hats, of some food items and stuff, so they can pass out to people if they need any of those items. Many of those items have been donated by the Cooper Historic Waterfront Association, and always appreciate what they give us. And then you mentioned the capital budget. There are two things in that that really are going to affect affordable housing in Island County. One, you may have seen in the paper where the commissioners bought 7 acres in Oak Harbor, and 6 of the acres will be used for housing. We haven't applied for that piece yet with the capital budget, but one acre we're hoping to build a crisis stabilization and subacute detox center, eight-bed center. Be used. It'll be a regional facility, but primarily for people in on Whidbey. It'll be 8 to 10 bed facility. It'll be voluntary. So we're very, very, very excited about that. And that to build that facility is in the capital budget. So we're very, very excited. And I think today the commissioners signed the final document so that the property does belong to the county. And then we've already started trying to find a developer for the rest of the property. And again, it'll be affordable. It'll be all levels of housing. It'll be homeless, it'll be low income, it'll be affordable. Most of it will be supportive housing, which means for those people that need it, they will have support services for them. And we figure we can probably do up to 100 units, which would be just absolutely incredible. The other good news is we're in partnership with an organization called Lehigh Low Income Housing Institute out of Seattle, and they are purchasing property from an Oak Harbor resident to build a 51-unit facility in Oak Harbor, but they needed some local matching money, and so the county has again stepped up to provide several hundred thousand dollars for some matching money and to get that going. And there's some funding also in the capital budget that will go with that. And so that will be, again, all different types of housing, but will be primarily for veterans and seniors.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And how many units?
51 units there. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is huge progress in the county.
Yeah. We've been working on, tell my housing staff that, you know, we've been working on these things for years. And I said, you just wait. Everything will come together at once. And it's like now it's all kind of coming together. So very excited and pleased that the commissioners agreed to participate in both of these projects. And are putting their money where their mouth is, pretty much. And we're still going to have to find a developer. They have the Low Income Housing Institute out of Seattle does have a developer for the smaller units in Oak Harbor, and we're going to have to work to find a developer. But that's a tricky piece, because developers still have to make money, or at least break even. And so it's, you know, you hope that it used to be that the federal government always, there were some incentives for developers to develop low-income and affordable housing, and those went away several years ago. So that's a piece of why we're in such a housing shortage, is that those those incentives went away several years ago, so there were no incentives to build apartment houses where a certain number of units needed to be low income or for people who were homeless. So anyway, we were just dying on the vine for that.
That capital budget.
That capital budget. We had this full support of our legislators, and so we became very frustrated, though, that we were kind of worried it wouldn't happen. And the one property with Lehigh, we were really worried because they had there was a drop dead date at which time they would not be eligible for some federal funds, but they couldn't apply for those until they had the state funds, and it was, I think they skimmed by, it barely is happening. So that's pretty exciting. I did want to just mention too, when we talk about our homeless population and stuff, I think one of the things that the volunteers that do go out and find people and do the questionnaires with them, people are always amazed at how many people are working who do have jobs but can't afford housing, or there's been some really catastrophic event in their lives that they've had to put their money towards and have not been able to come down with, first and last month's rent and deposits and all of that. So it is definitely an issue that's not just ours. It is statewide, nationally, it's a big issue. So we'll see. We'll have the numbers all tabulated. What we do is we enter everything in what's called the HMIS system, which is a statewide data system, and all of our numbers get entered into that. We do a little rough estimate, but then the official numbers will come back in about a month. So we'll be happy to share those with you.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Doing lots of good work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say about the panel discussion that you're hosting in a week?
Yeah, next February 5th. All of the Snow Isle Library branches in the county they're all doing something a little bit different, but all around mental health issues. And I think the North Whidbey, I think they're doing teens and or youth and suicide. I can't remember what South Whidbey is doing in Arizona. And then in Coopville here, we're doing it just on kind of mental health resources. And so I'm facilitating that, and that's February 5th. And we'll have several speakers, including Chris Garden is going to be on the panel just because he's involved regionally too with some law enforcement mental health issues, so he's going to be there. And it's 1:30 to 3:30 at the Cooper Library. Try to answer people's questions.
Do you have to RSVP for that or sign up for it?
No, I think you just can show up.
You have to have a library card.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, this is our second and last chance for audience input. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, now would be the time.
Well, one of our great council members has addressed an issue near and dear to my heart, which is public health and welfare. The American Public Health Services Association declared 2017 to be the year of climate change and health, to bring to the public's attention all the health-related consequences of climate change. I won't go over all those now, but I will emphasize the mental health issues of climate catastrophes. And they include, we anticipate and are seeing increases in depression, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, family domestic violence, and PTSD. And we have to be prepared for that. During the conference in February, to kick it off, a psychologist made this claim in recognition that children are already suffering anxiety about this issue. in surveys, this is the number one issue that concerns children. It's climate change, above terrorism and everything else that they see on the news. Okay, and that's what made this public health person, a child psychiatrist, say that in action regarding climate change is equivalent to child abuse. Is equivalent to child abuse. I want to bring to your attention that next Wednesday, the 31st of the month, there will be an opportunity to see where the fossil fuel resistance movement is headed. This is an international presentation featuring a cross-section of people who are leaders in this issue, including youth, elders, and Latinos, indigenous people, and people of color, because the consequences are going to impact those less able to deal with it. And so that is, we're going to live stream the presentation at UUCWI beginning at, we'll gather at 6:30. The presentation will be from 7 to shortly after 8. But you can participate from anywhere if you log in. You can have your own watch party in the comfort of your own home, as long as you have an internet connection. Just go to Fossil Free Fast or 350.org or contact me and I will provide you further details. Okay. We live in the time of denial, and unfortunately, Mother Nature's laws are not influenced by our beliefs.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to address the council? Okay, so we are going to go into executive session now. I am going to say that it will last 20, well, we may take about a 2 or 3 minute break because people have to get cleaned up here. We'll maybe take a 5 minute break and start at 8:15. And I'm gonna say it's going to last at least 20 minutes. If it lasts longer than that, I will, if any of you remain, I'll come out and let you know that. We will come back into session to appoint a council member, and then we will adjourn for the evening. Okay? Thank you very much for coming.